Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. I'm missing my music today. I'm on the road traveling. And my special guest tonight is Raymond Francis, who has written a book called Never Be Sick Again. Welcome to the show, Raymond.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Oh, yeah, it's great to have your book, too. I was really impressed with this, and you know, we'll talk about it more so the listeners get an idea of why. But if you would first start with a little bit of your background so that people understand why you felt it was important to write this book, that would be great.
Right. Well, first of all, my training is in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a scientist by training. I'm a graduate of MIT. And I took ill. And after almost a year of illness, I was very close to death. Within inches of death, my doctors essentially said that my death was a medical certainty.
Mm.
And at the last moment, I used my own knowledge of biochemistry to save my life. And then it took me 2 years to restore myself to where I could function normally once again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long odyssey of learning and experimentation. And at the end of it, I looked back and I thought to myself that someone else in my same position who didn't have my scientific training would have surely died.
Yeah.
And that was very impactful for me. And I started thinking about, being a scientist. Scientists are curious people. They love to ask questions. I started asking questions like, what is disease? Why do people get sick? How do you get sick? What has to happen to make you sick? And if you're sick, what do you have to do to get well again? And I started getting very, very profound answers to these questions. And eventually, I resigned from everything I was doing. I was the president of an international management consulting company.
Mm-hmm.
I was even on the board of directors of a hospital. I resigned from everything and decided to devote the remainder of my life to improving the health of the American people. And writing Never Be Sick Again is just a continuation of that quest, and I'm still working on it to this day.
Mm-hmm. I think that it might help, too, if you would go into what exactly happened to you, because I think a lot of people think nobody's as sick as they are. And
right.
So if you could kind of, you know, go through that scenario, I almost cried reading what you went through.
Well, I had everything. I had chronic fatigue syndrome so bad that I can remember being in bed one day and instructing my head to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unable to move my head. I didn't have enough energy to move my head. I had chemical sensitivity syndrome. In my 20-odd years since my illness, I've met 3 people who were more chemically sensitive than I was. So literally, I was one of the most chemically sensitive people in the world. I had 3 autoimmune diseases. I had lupus. I had Sjogren's syndrome. I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis. It just went on and on. I had nervous system problems. I had eye problems. I was very, very, very sick. And the last thing that almost killed me was my doctor gave me a prescription drug, and the prescription drug was toxic to the liver. And, of course, my liver was already under enormous stress.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough to kick me over, and my liver totally failed, and I was dying of liver failure.
Boy.
It wasn't very pleasant, and I don't want anybody else to live through that. And the good part is that you don't have to, because in my studies, what I have discovered is that we already know how to put an end to this epidemic of chronic disease in America. The knowledge that we have now is sufficient to stop this epidemic of chronic disease, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, arthritis. All these things can be stopped tomorrow with the knowledge we already have today. All we need to do is take this knowledge and teach it to people. And that's what I'm trying to do in Never Be Sick Again. I tried to write a book that would be health in one lesson, that where people who don't read a lot could just take one book and learn what they needed to know I wanted to take the mystery out of disease and make health simple. And I think I've succeeded to a large extent.
I think you've succeeded, too. I love the way that you went about doing this, you know, the combination of the stories, you know, to illustrate why this is important and how this works and where this fits in. But also your two causes and six pathways approach, I thought was really quite interesting and different. And, you know, I mean, I've got a long, long time in the health field. I've seen lots of different books come and go and lots of people trying to get well. I think that you do have in this book a real easy way to get to it. You've covered things in a very succinct manner.
That's what I tried to do. I wrote this for the average person. I wanted to give the average person a roadmap that if they followed it and they could understand disease, they could take all the mystery out of disease, and if they did it well, they could get well. And it's happened all over the world. People read this book and cure themselves of incurable diseases. I mean, it is just amazing. I'll give you two examples. One of them is a man who called one day and he said, "You saved my life, and what can I do for you?" And it turns out he had lifelong, all of his adult life anyway, had very serious asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he almost died of an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day he was in a bookstore. He saw Never Be Sick Again. He bought it. He's been asthma-free ever since.
Wow.
And that was like 4 years ago. He's been asthma-free ever since. And he said, "I saved his life." We had another man called me a little over 3 years ago, and he said, "You saved my life, and I want to thank you." Turns out this man was a nationally known businessman, very wealthy, well-known personality. He had stage 4 kidney cancer. He had metastasized kidney cancer all over his body. The doctors released him from the hospital, telling him that there was nothing that could be done for him. He was told that he had a 50% chance of being alive in 6 months. And instead of going home to die, he went to Barnes & Noble, bought a copy of Never Be Sick Again, and a few months later, he was totally cancer-free. He is still totally cancer-free. I talked to him just a couple of months ago now, and he had just returned from a business trip, a long trip. You would think he'd be tired. He was bouncing around like a rubber ball. He filled with energy. And he said, "I read your book on the plane." And I said, "What do you mean you read the book on the plane?" And he said, "Yeah, I've read it about 40 times now." And he said, "Every time I read it, I learn something new."
Wow.
And here's a guy that cured himself of the stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, you know, for me, looking through this, you know, being a naturopathic physician, everything that you're talking about in here is so true. And you've presented it so neatly and so precisely and yet simply. And, you know, I'm always looking for the simple way to explain to people what's going on.
Yes.
Because too many people, if they get the diagnosis of cancer or an autoimmune disease, the first thing they say is, "Oh, it's going to be too much work, and I don't want to give up my food because what if it doesn't work?" And yet, so many times it's so simple to reverse these terrible chronic and
right.
life-threatening diseases if they would just change the way they're eating and cleanse and do some exercise and get some fresh air and change the stinking thinking.
You're so right.
Yeah,
my brother, another living miracle, 19 years ago, he was diagnosed with metastasized prostate cancer, and he was given 6 months to live. That was 19 years ago. He's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, he's lost 5 friends to prostate cancer.
Wow.
Not a one of them was willing to do anything different. They all said, "Oh, it worked for you, but I trust my doctor," and they're all dead, including his best friend. And he went in to see his best friend one day, and his best friend reached up and took him by the hand, and he looked up at him and he said, "Well, your way worked and mine didn't."
Mm.
And then he died the next day, by the way. So it's a heck of a time to figure out that your way isn't working. But it's so difficult when you're sick and your life is in the balance, and to go against everything that you've been taught, everything that you know, everything that everybody else believes. Very difficult.
I totally agree, and I see people all the time in my practice that that don't want to go that extra mile because they think it's not going to work, and they're you know stuck in their habits.
Right.
And I had a lady that came in who had leukemia and was a chain smoker, and she and her husband refused to give up smoking. I said, "Are you aware that cigarettes cause leukemia?" She said, "Well, no, I didn't know that." But she didn't quit.
No.
And I ended up having to toss both of them out on their ears. You know, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not. Well, they don't fully believe, I think, and that's why in Never Be Sick Again, what I tried to do was literally to take the mystery out of disease and reduce it to simple terms that anybody can understand. If every cell in your body is working, we're all made of these little things called cells. We all started life as one cell, and now we're tens of trillions of cells. Well, if every cell is working the way it's supposed to, you can't be sick.
Well,
it's just
exactly.
As simple as that.
Well, it's like, you know, if you're alkaline, then you can't get cancer.
That's right. You can't get cancer. And you know what? This man that cured himself of the cancer, the stage 4 kidney cancer, I asked him, I said, "Paul, what do you think, after reading my book, was the most important thing that you did to cure your cancer?" And he said, "Change my pH."
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he got out of the book, that was important. And so he did it, and his cancer went away.
Well, absolutely. See, the people don't realize that cancer comes from your own cells. It's your own cell structure run amok. And the reason it's so bad is because the cell divides not into two like it should, but anywhere from, you know, 3 to 7 to 15 pieces, all of which are aberrant. And so then you have this rapidly growing thing that takes over your blood supply and spreads and does this other stuff, but that can only happen in the acidic environment.
Right.
So in other words, you know, it's kind of like worms.
Don't understand that. You see, folks out there, you have to understand that it's almost impossible to get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is an extremely difficult disease to get, and that's why it never happened historically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, historically, back in the 19th century, only 1 out of 1,000 people got cancer. Well, by the time the beginning of the 20th century came around, 30 out of 1,000 people were getting cancer. I mean, this is an epidemic.
Yeah.
Today, it's just under 500 out of 1,000 are going to get cancer in their lifetime. And this is just crazy. But folks, it's still a very complicated disease. And so imagine yourself in a control room, just filled with blinking lights and switches and levers. Well, in order to turn cancer on, you've got to precisely control it and turn on all the right switches in the right sequence in order to make the cancer happen.
Exactly.
And unless you do that, it's not going to happen.
Right, and there's a lot of checks and balances.
Exactly.
You know, we baffle the people with the BS, you know, with all the different terms and things, but basically there's things called proto-oncogenes, and there's tumor killer cells, and there's all these other things. So, you know, the pro-cancer stuff has to be turned on, and the anti-cancer stuff has to be turned off.
Right.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
So if you have cancer, guess how you got it, folks?
Yeah.
You gave it to yourself because you turned on all the right switches. Well, that's the bad news. But here's the good news. You can turn the same switches off, and the cancer will go away.
Exactly.
And that's
the key.
Tell
people some of the things that one would do for that.
Well, it's real simple. For instance, there are chemicals in fresh fruits and vegetables that all of the mechanisms that we know, every single mechanism we know to turn cancer on and make it happen, there are chemicals in fresh fruits and vegetables that will turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. The best, the most powerful chemotherapy in the world is fresh fruits and vegetables. Then we know a lot of other things. We know that sugar is a very powerful cancer promoter. So if you don't want cancer, or if you want to get rid of cancer, you may not eat any sugar. And you may not eat any white flour or processed oils. The oils you buy in a supermarket are very rich in omega-6 fatty acids. Mm-hmm. Well, when you feed omega-6 fatty acids to an animal with cancer, the cancer grows like crazy.
Yeah.
And then if you want it to stop growing and go away, well, you stop feeding the omega-6 fatty acids, and it goes away. And then if you want to rescue the dying tumor, just give them some more corn oil or safflower oil or sunflower oil or canola oil or soybean oil, and the tumor will come right back.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing with protein. And, of course, dairy protein is the worst of all. Dairy protein is one of the most powerful cancer promoters we know. So if you don't want cancer, or if you want to get rid of your cancer, do not eat any dairy of any kind. And don't eat meat, because excess animal protein promotes cancer. So there are simple dietary things you can do that will turn these switches off and make the cancer go away.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one of the things that has concerned me of late is I saw something where the government is stating that it's terrible to eat the antioxidants. Antioxidants actually cause cancer.
Right.
And they're basing that on the fact that the antioxidants are basically plant poop. You know, it's what they produce and they get rid of, you know, in response to damage or injury or whatever. But it's not toxic to us. It actually helps us. So it's really a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
But yet the government is out there telling people, oh, don't take these antioxidants. That'll cause cancer.
Right,
it'll
exactly.
Kill you.
Well,
poisonous.
You know, the drug companies have enormous influence over what is coming out of the government and,
yes.
and the FDA. And the drug companies don't want this to be known. And, in fact, we talked about, you brought up the subject about pH and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that last year there was a top-secret meeting in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
and everyone who attended this top-secret meeting had to sign a secrecy agreement, a legal secrecy agreement. All of the literature in the meeting was printed in ink that does not photocopy. And guess what the meeting was about? It was about the fact that if you have alkaline cells, you can't have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a top-secret meeting. Nobody wants you to know that.
Boy.
Yeah, boy.
And, you know, no wonder they've been after naturopaths for so long, because we all say that all the time.
Oh, exactly. Well, you're bad people.
Yeah.
You screw up
terrible.
The system. you can't make money if people eat vegetables, so you can't sell drugs.
Well, exactly. And, you know, when I was doing nursing, years ago, I would walk into somebody's house, and if I saw that they had 20 medications, unless they were a transplant patient, I knew that doctor had absolutely no clue what was going on with the patient.
Of course not.
And, you know, because they give one drug for a symptom, then you get symptoms from that drug.
Right.
And so you get another drug for those symptoms. And so pretty soon you're medicating symptoms that were caused by the medications. Meanwhile, you're poisoning your body.
Absolutely. You're poisoning your body. Your biochemistry is in total biochemical chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you even hope to be healthy if your entire body is in biochemical chaos? It is lunacy to take a prescription drug.
I totally agree. So many of the things that we have that are natural work so, so quickly and easily. And, you know, of course, the big complaint is the insurance companies won't pay for it.
Right.
And I just shake my head and go, fine, be sick.
Exactly. Be sick. It is amazing. But you see, they don't believe. They're so misinformed that they really don't believe that it's going to work for them. Because if they did, they'd do anything. If they truly believed that doing that would solve their problem, they would do anything. They'd mortgage the house. They'd do whatever it took to make that happen for them. But the belief isn't there because society doesn't say that that's the thing to do.
All right, and a lot of people don't know about these natural things, and we're all considered to be quacks.
Well, they like to call you quacks, but the truth is that you're pioneers in a new system of medicine. It's really conventional medicine that is doing the quackery. And the average medical doctor today is so hopelessly obsolete that they really have made themselves irrelevant. I mean, science has passed medicine by to the point where the medicine is at least 100 years behind the science. So what you're getting is at least century-old science.
Well, and the thing, too, is, you know, the allopathic medicine has never been one for anything but emergency.
Yeah, and it does that well.
Emergency stuff.
Does that well. I mean, if you're in an auto accident, you go to a good hospital in America, you'll get the best care in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it does that well. It's just when it goes over into disease that it doesn't work at all. And,
right, because they pretty much don't know squat about the preventative and chronic stuff.
Well, they're basically just behind the science. You see, the biological science has advanced so rapidly, and they're still using at least a 19th century model, if not a 17th century model. And, you know, if this were just me saying this, you'd say, well, there was this scientist on the radio, and he said that medicine was, you know, obsolete. But let me tell you something. In 2002, our own National Academy of Sciences, I mean, do you want to get more prestigious than that? The National Academy of Sciences issued a report in 2002, and they said that the difference between the medicine we have and the medicine that we should have due to the advances in science, that difference is not a gap, it's a chasm.
Yeah.
And they went on to say that this chasm is so great, there's no way we can tweak medicine and bring it up to date. We simply have to discard what we have and start over. And it's people like you who are practicing naturopathy, that's what we need to do. That's where we need to start over and discard the nonsense that we're doing.
Well, yeah, and the problem with that is that pharmaceuticals are multi-billion dollar industries.
Exactly, exactly. And you're going to put them out of business with fruits and vegetables and some vitamins.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't want the vitamins. But it's going to happen sooner or later. You cannot maintain a system that's this crazy. I mean, you look at the two pillars of modern medicine. What could be more stupid? You know, I can improve your health if I give you poison.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Poison.
Give me poison, doctor. Well, let me tell you something. There are two causes of disease, deficiency and toxicity.
Yeah.
And when you give somebody a prescription drug, that is a toxin. You are making that person sick. And the more prescription drugs you give them, the sicker they become. You cannot restore health by giving someone poison. And yet that's one of the pillars of modern medicine.
Well, right. And people don't understand that when they give you a pill, the pill is there to alleviate the symptom. It does nothing for the cause
right.
in most cases.
The cause just goes on and gets worse even.
Right.
And you're poisoning. Now, sure, let's say you high blood pressure. You give yourself a pill that will poison your kidneys, make you excrete more water. Your blood pressure goes down. But guess what? You're poisoning your kidneys. I just had a neighbor that died of kidney cancer because he took high blood pressure medications for 20 years. And the kidneys finally gave up.
Well, that, and they take your salt away. You need salt.
Yeah, it's like weird. And then the other great pillar of modern medicine, you know, if we can't poison you back to health, well, we can chop you up into smaller pieces, and that will surely restore your health. And if it doesn't, come back, and we'll chop you up into still smaller pieces.
Yeah.
Well, pretty soon, there's only your nose left, but it's a very healthy nose.
For a bit.
And that's what we call medicine.
It's
weird.
So aggravating. You know, my late husband used to call the allopaths and now the DOs the white-coated frauds. And, you know, he had several clients that were doctors and in the hospitals, you know, pretty high-ranking, making multi-millions of dollars every year. And he used to say, you know, I'm not a physician, but he said, I've seen enough of these guys. And he said, you know, they're doing cookbook medicine and nobody really knows what they're doing. And I said, yeah, when I worked in the ER, we killed people regularly doing what we thought was supposed to be done.
Uh-huh.
And so all you could do was do the stuff that you had been told by the American College of Physicians was the right thing to do.
Otherwise, it's malpractice.
Exactly. And so you have these things you have to adhere to that are called community standards, which means, you know, like when somebody comes into me and says that, you know, they want to be checked for cancer, there are certain things that I have to do to check for whatever we think is going on. I have to order a passel of expensive lab tests. You know, I have to do the physical exam and yada, yada, yada. The problem is that if I find cancer, I can't tell them we can cure it naturally. That's against the law. What I have to do is I have to give them
right.
community standards, which means I have to tell them all about radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery. And I cannot lead them to make a decision about whether they want to do any or all of those or whether they want to do it naturally. And when they ask me, I am legally bound not to tell them what my opinion is.
I understand that. It's a tragedy because then people are not informed, and that's one of the reasons why medicine is so far behind the science, because and there's so many well-meaning doctors out there that really care, if they go to a conference, let's say they go to a conference in Paris, and they learn a brand new medical treatment, and they come back to Peoria to put that treatment into, that's malpractice. They can't do that. They can lose their license if they do that because it's not the standard of care in the community, and that means that progress cannot take place.
Right, and so until some group decides that that's what should be done.
Yeah, they fall further behind every year.
Yep.
As a scientist, I'm just appalled at how unscientific medicine is, and in fact, our own Congress has done a study on it, and Rand Corporation has done a study on it. A lot of people have studied medicine, and they all come back and say pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
About 85% of existing medicine has no scientific basis.
Right. And it doesn't even have a traditional basis.
Right.
Whereas the stuff
doesn't
that
even have a traditional basis.
Yeah, we do all traditional.
So it's tragic.
One of the things that's
people...
interesting new now, if they take the vitamins in such a way from people, and I've railed against this many times, as have many others, but if they take that stuff away, we're already looking at new ways to get beyond that. You know, we're looking at frequency. We're looking at plasma physics. We're looking at all these different
right.
ways to do things. And so people, don't give up. I don't want you to get depressed because there are a lot of us that are working with frequency-based energetic medicine right now that does not require technology. You know, technology's fun and all, but what if they come into your office and they take all of your little machines away? What are you going to do then?
Exactly. Yeah, and they'll do it.
Yeah,
they'll do
sure
it
they
because
will.
You're a threat to the system, and it's a $2 trillion industry. And cancer alone is a $1 billion-a-day industry. Now, anybody that wants to shut that industry down is going to be in big trouble.
Absolutely.
In fact, I just talked with a man last night who knew a guy that developed a cancer treatment, and he started lecturing on it. And one day he was lecturing in Chicago, and this man came up to him and said, "You give one more lecture, and you will die."
Mm.
He didn't give another lecture.
Yeah, there have been a lot like that.
Yeah.
There have
just,
been people who have come up with cancer cures that if they can't buy them up, they will kill them.
Exactly.
And they firebombed their houses. They've thrown them in jail. I mean, they've done every nasty little thing they can to keep these treatments from getting out into the public.
Well, there are books written on this, and so we're not telling stories out of school here. These are actual things that happen to people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tragic thing. So.
Well, and if you follow the history of the AMA, there's a book by Eustace Mullins called Murder by Injection. And it details the entire history of the AMA, which started by two quacks who did untold harm to thousands of women. And then they kind of blackballed all the other doctors that were healing people, so you had to do it their way, or else, you know, that was it. You couldn't practice as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is all a matter of congressional record. You know, this is not, you know, me just saying, you know,
exactly.
I'm against all doctors.
Yeah,
I'm not.
There is absolute evidence for everything that you're saying.
Yep. And so what's really valuable to me, Raymond, is that you've written this book that goes into such concise detail without boring people. I mean, this is not one of those scientific books where people go, "Oh, man, I can't even think about that. It's going to be a snore." Actually, it's a really nice book. It's easy to read. It's easy, I think, for most lay people to understand. And it's very, very common sense.
I took very, very, the most difficult part of it was taking that complex biochemistry, that complex molecular biology,
mm-hmm.
and reducing it to simple terms that anybody could understand and put to use in their life. That was the real task.
And I think you've done a fine job of it. And listeners, I hope that you will go out and get this book, Never Be Sick Again. And I love the tagline you have on this, health is a choice, learn how to choose it.
Right. And, you know, my website, beyondhealth.com, is just a treasury of useful information. And, in fact, there's two free reports on beyondhealth.com. One is called The Roadmap to Ultimate Health. The other is called The Roadmap to Choosing Supplements. Both of those are extremely high quality, and they're available absolutely for free. All you have to do is go to beyondhealth.com, and that's two words, beyond and health, stuck together, beyondhealth.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And, you know, I'm sure one of the questions that some of the people are thinking now is how can they cut back or get rid of their prescription drugs?
Very, very easily. There's a lot of them that can just be immediately discarded. There are others that you have to sort of wean yourself off of. Usually it's best to work with a health practitioner in order to wean yourself off of them and make sure you don't get into trouble. I mean, for instance, if you have high blood pressure, you should not be on a high blood pressure medication. You should be on alternative means.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to just get off the medication because then you could your blood pressure could shoot up and you could get into trouble. So there are certain things like a cholesterol medication. Well, who on earth needs that? I mean, that's a deadly poison. You can get off of that in 2 seconds and do your body good and not worry about it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the whole cholesterol thing was based on bad science in the first place.
Right, exactly. Exactly, but
it's just
now
ridiculous.
It's a big industry.
There's natural things that you can do that have no side effects, no risks whatsoever, and work at lowering your cholesterol dramatically in a very short space of time.
Exactly. It's so simple, folks. It's so simple, and it's much safer. It's less expensive. It's better for your health. When you take a drug, you're poisoning yourself. You're just making yourself sicker.
You know, I had a friend that was doing that, and she kind of collapsed into my arms. You know, 3 times I saved her life at my expense.
Wow.
You know, IVs, nutritional stuff. I mean, all these things, because she would not give up what she was doing. Now, she was smoking and drinking, and she was also taking more and more and more prescription drugs. And this last time, she started having all kinds of weird symptoms. I mean, she was getting weird bruising all over her body.
Yeah.
And I forgot what else was going on, but, you know, she called me up, and again, she's in a panic. And I said, you know what? You're happy taking your stuff. You're happy smoking and drinking. Go ahead and die. And I hung up the phone. I thought, man, that was pretty callous of me. But you know what? It shocked her enough that she has stopped drinking. She's cutting down on her smoking and trying to quit. She's dropped off of a lot of her prescription meds, and now she's juicing and she's eating correctly. And, you know, it took that step back to say, look, it's your life, you know. Don't bother me anymore with this crap because I've already played that game 3 times. And, you know, if you're not interested in being on the planet, then get off of it.
Well, sometimes you just have to put it that way for people so that they get it. I have a friend who, his mother, had lost her mind. She couldn't remember anything. And this was a very, very bright lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was dizzy all the time. She was weak. She was on 6 prescription drugs. I told him, get her off of those drugs.
Yeah.
He did. We got her on a good supplement program. Her mind is as sharp as a tack. She's feeling fabulous. She's not weak. She's not dizzy. She's just wonderful.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference, and it happens very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing that people don't understand. It can be so, so quick. So simple.
Well, and then the doctor tells you that you're getting sicker. Well,
yeah.
You are getting sicker, but it's because of the drugs.
Yeah.
So it's
exactly.
True, you are getting sicker. That's what they told me when I was getting sicker, that I was just getting sicker. It was my disease.
Oh, yeah, and you were on the brink of death.
Yeah, and it wasn't my disease at all. It was the drugs.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, I avoided all that stuff. But, you know, I mean, I grew up with a mom who was a nurse and, you know, and so the minute we had a sniffle, we ran to the doctor and got antibiotics. And so I was pretty toxic by the time I was 40.
Wow.
And then I learned about naturopathic medicine, and I started fasting and cleansing. And lo and behold, not only did I drop 100 pounds at that time over the next year with grace and ease, but also my wrinkles all disappeared.
Yeah.
And my hair color started coming back, and I was like, now, isn't that interesting?
You get biologically younger.
Yes.
And that's the great beauty of it is when you get your health, you become biologically younger. Well, I'm now 70. My arteries at last measurement were down to age 30. By the time I'm 80, I want my arteries down to age 20.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My probability of a heart attack or a stroke is that of somebody in their 20s or 30s. And that's what you want.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to be biologically younger. Today, we're measuring 30-year-olds with the biological markers of 80-year-olds. And what you want is the reverse. You want to measure 80-year-olds with the biological markers of 30-year-olds. We got it screwed up, and that's why life expectancy in America is going to start to turn down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the young people are so sick.
You know, this stuff, I can't tell people how important it is. I hope that you listeners are really getting this, getting some hope. Because so many times, you know, you don't know where to turn. You know, should I listen to this guy? Should I listen to Dr. Valerie? Should I listen to this other one? You know, here's what the scientists are saying. Here's what the government says. Here's what these three doctors have said. You know, you don't know which way to turn.
Exactly. And that's why I wrote Never Be Sick Again, so they can turn to themselves. Because once they understand it, once they understand that there's only two causes of disease and that if all the cells in their body are working right, they can't be sick. Once you understand that, you're in control. And that's what you want. You don't have to listen to anybody else. Once you understand the fundamentals, you're in control.
Exactly. And people do have to take control of their own lives because you're the only one that can change it.
Yes.
Nobody else can do it. I mean, I can write people prescription after prescription, but if they don't take my advice, it's not going to work.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I fired patients for that. You know?
Good for you.
Excuse me.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I tell them at the beginning,
that's,
you don't
that's
have
integrity.
To do anything I say.
That's integrity.
Well, you know, you have to be that way because, really, their life is on the line. And so I tell people, you don't have to do anything that I say, but if you don't do it, I may fire you because there's a reason I'm telling you to do this, and the reason is for your health. And if something is really, really important, you know, like it's your heart, then if you don't do what I say to do, you know, you're going to end up dead.
Precisely.
So, you know, it's a two-way street with your doctor. And I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. They think they have to do everything that the doctor says. But, you know, you have to talk to the doctor and say, why am I doing this? Why have you given me this pill? And is this going to cure me? And every one of them will tell you, well, no, it's not going to cure you, and you're going to have to take it for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
At that point, you should be saying, why? If it's not going to cure me, why am I taking it?
Well, and they believe it. they believe that they need to take it for the rest of their life, and the doctor believes it, too, because medicine is based on diagnosing and treating, and that's what they do. They give your problem a name, and then they give you something that suppresses the symptoms, and that's what medicine is all about, giving your problem a name and then suppressing the symptoms. And the doctor, I mean, let's take a mercury toxicity, and of course almost every American has too much mercury, but too much mercury can cause asthma, it can cause allergies, it can cause osteoporosis, it can cause depression, it can cause diabetes. You go on and on with all of the diseases that just too much mercury can cause, and then the doctor's going to come along, give all of those symptoms different names, put you on different drugs for all the different problems, and maybe send you off to a specialist for your osteoporosis and another specialist for your depression. And pretty soon you're seeing a lot of doctors taking a lot of drugs, and guess what? You got too much mercury in your system. You get rid of it, and all of your so-called diseases go away, because there's only one disease, a malfunctioning cell, and cells malfunction for only two reasons. Either they're not getting everything they need, or they're getting something they really don't need, and in this case, mercury.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had guys come in with, borderline prostate cancer. And the first thing I do is check their hormones, and it turns out that their estrogen levels are where I would like mine to be. And I look at them and I go, man, I need that. I put them on an aromatase inhibitor. It reverses all that stuff, and then their testosterone levels go down to normal, where they've been very high, and the estrogen goes away, and lo and behold, the PSA drops down to normal, and they don't have prostate cancer. And it's that simple. So it's all this biochemical stuff that you go to a doctor to figure out.
What do you use for your aromatase inhibitors?
Well, there's a couple of things that we use as naturopaths. One is indole-3-carbinol, which is broccoli essence. And the other thing is DIM, which is more expensive. So we've got that. We've also got, there's several different pharmaceutical aromatase inhibitors that the MDs will use. And, the other thing, too, is we get them to stop drinking alcohol, get off of the wheat. You know, those are the two main things that cause aromatase to increase. And, several other things, sugar, things
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure, sure. All the sugar is deadly to everything.
Well, it's really not so much that it's the sugar itself. It's really the bleached sugar. You know, natural sugar is a better thing to use or that kind of thing. But the other thing is the sugar will actually decrease the ability of your immune system to function for like a half an hour or more.
Oh, more.
Yeah.
And it also increases your estrogen levels.
It does. And the other thing it does, too, is it creates a very acidic environment, and that's why you're not supposed to have sugar.
Exactly.
And whether you have fruit sugar or whether you have sugar, it's pretty much the same thing. It's still sugar. And so that's one of the things people get into problems with. Like, people think it's really healthy to eat a lot of dates. Well, dried fruit is packed with sugar. Normal sugar.
Right.
But it's extremely acidic. And so, a fresh fruit is much better, obviously. You know, you would normally sit down and eat one orange.
And that would fill you, and you wouldn't have a bumper. If you make orange juice, you use, six oranges.
At least.
It's very different. And then the sugar, sugar is so deadly. When it raises the insulin content of the blood, the biochemistry of what happens after you eat sugar is just so scary that when I think of it, it keeps me away from sugar. Anytime I'm tempted to eat sugar, I just think of the biochemistry and I say, whoa, this stuff is deadly poison.
There's a lot
and it makes you old.
Yeah.
It makes you old. So if you want to really accelerate your aging, eat sugar.
Well, and the thing, too, that you covered in your book that I thought was real interesting is you're talking about the stacking of things, different toxins that by themselves were fine, like in the case of the food additives, that, one of them by itself wasn't going to do anything, but three of them together would then cause cancer.
Right.
And I thought that was real interesting because one of the things I'm fighting right now is I got into, as I'm traveling across the U.S. here, I was in a place that had a lot of mold. And I started reacting to it within about 2 hours.
Whoa, yeah.
And, I live out in the desert, so it's really not moldy. And, I'm kind of unused to all this kind of stuff. And so there I was in the environment, and I took some of what I call my whoop-butt tincture. It'll knock out a virus in usually one dose if you get it right away.
Uh-huh.
I took about 6 doses of this stuff, and I was getting worse. And I went, uh-oh. And so now I'm really hoarse and I'm coughing and all this kind of stuff, but I feel 100% better than I did yesterday at this time because now I'm out of that environment.
Right. Well, that's another thing, for instance, about eating those dried fruits that are loaded with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
The dried fruits are also loaded with mold.
Yes.
And that's another factor that makes them unhealthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something that, and you covered that in your book, too, about a lot of the so-called fresh fruits are covered with mold, too.
Right. I happen to be allergic to mold, just as you are, and that's the one thing I haven't been able to cure in myself is my mold allergy, and a doctor hypersensitized me to mold, and I'm still sensitive to mold, so I'm a good indicator of where mold is, and I literally like fresh berries. I can't eat fresh berries that are more than 24 hours away from harvesting because they're too moldy. So food was meant to be harvested and consumed.
Yeah.
And we don't do that because we all live in cities and we have to ship the food long distances. And by the time it gets to the store, the nutrition is gone and the mold is growing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they ship this stuff when it's green, and then it sits around on top of other pieces of fruit and things, and it's wet.
Yeah.
And, that's a major problem. And
it is.
I can't tell you how many times I've eaten a grape and not realized it had mold on it.
Well, all grapes are moldy unless you harvest them right fresh in a dry environment.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, by the time you've got it in your mouth and you swallowed it, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, and here's another thing. Some of us are so sensitive to mold that I actually had a trip, you know, like a hallucinogenic trip when I stuck my hand into a bag of mold one time when I was doing some shamanic work years ago.
Mm.
And it was a bag of hot dog buns.
Oh, dear.
And I stuck my hand in there to grab the hot dog bun for this big party we were having.
Uh-huh.
And the minute I put my bag in there, my skin started to crawl. I started to feel it running up my arm.
Wow.
Yeah, and I hadn't actually touched the mold. But I had just opened the bag, you know, and kind of stuck my hand
in
there.
Well, it was in the air on the bag.
Oh, my God, it was horrible. And I just was freaked, you know, and I started, like, shaking and shivering. And one of the guys said, well, just go with it and see what it does. And I went, okay, what the hell? So I ended up laughing for, like, 24 hours straight. It was like I was on some kind of hallucinogenic. I was talking to the cat and understanding it, and it was talking back. I was walking on sharp, cold rocks in my bare feet and never felt it. I was communicating with the moon. I mean, it was amazing, and laughing my butt off.
Well, there you go. That's why people do drugs.
Uh-huh. And that was just hot dog buns.
Yeah. Well, that's a cheap trip.
Yeah.
But you're more allergic to mold than I am. I mean, that wouldn't happen to me.
Well, I'll tell you, I was really surprised by that. I mean, I eat mushrooms and things, too, you know, and they don't bother me, but...
Yeah, I can
eat
mushrooms.
But I'll tell you, this last one, I just walked in the house, and within a couple hours, I had a scratchy throat. And then after spending, you know, a couple days there, I was like, oh, my God, what is going on? And then as I left this morning, I went, wow, I realized that my tissues had actually swollen up. And it's like my nose was about 3 times bigger than normal. And I said, oh, my God. That's a mold allergy.
Well, the problem is this, that probably half the population is allergic to molds.
Yeah.
And they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unknown quantity, and I often have people come to me, and they're so sick, and they just have one problem after another, and they can't isolate what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, well, what are you eating? And I say, well, do you realize this is moldy, and that's moldy, and this is moldy,
mm-hmm.
and why don't you stop eating all of these moldy things? And they do, and all their problems go away.
Yeah.
And so they don't know it, and they don't realize that they can't eat raisins, for instance, and they can't eat dates, and they can't eat peanuts or peanut butter and things that normally have a lot of mold.
Yeah, and the thing is, when they stop eating that stuff, all of a sudden life gets easy. Because those things that cause allergies like that are kind of like a domino effect. You know, this causes an allergy, this causes an allergy, further sensitizes you. You keep building up a response.
Yes, and pretty soon...
Your system gets hyper alert.
Yep, and pretty soon you're allergic to a dozen things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. I see people that come to me that have multiple allergies. They don't know what to do with it. They're just bewildered, and of course their doctors aren't going to help them.
Well, yeah, because they don't recognize this stuff.
No.
And that's something that I think is so wonderful about what you've written, Raymond, because you point that out very simply, very easily, and, you know, people can look at this book and go, oh, I get it.
Right.
That's an important thing.
That's why I wrote it.
Excuse me. Sorry about the coughing.
We need to
give your information again, you know,
sure.
Before they send the hook out and yank us off the air.
Okay, well, it's beyondhealth.com, beyondhealth.com, and you can sign up for free reports there, priceless information. There are radio shows on there that are really superb. There are articles, free articles, that are Some of those articles are classics. They've gone all over the world. My article on depression is used at a major medical school to teach medical doctors. My article on osteoporosis, there are doctors all over the country to give it to their patients. So a lot of very useful information. And then my new book, of course, is Never Be Fat Again. And maybe someday we could talk about that on the show.
Oh, that would be great. I need that book. Send me that book.
we'll send you one.
Okay.
We'll send you one. Never Be Fat Again. And it is, I don't know if you know who Dr. Russell Blaylock is, but
yes.
He's one of the top medical thinkers in the country. And he read this book, and he said that it was the first book on weight control he has ever read that was worth reading.
Wow.
And it gives you a true, and what it is, it's not a diet book.
Mm-hmm.
What it is a cause and effect breakthrough that gives the reader the understanding of what causes overweight and how to get rid of it permanently.
Yeah, so, that's a good thing. You know, one of the things that I started doing the last couple of months is really looking into the human chorionic gonadotropin stuff that Kevin Trudeau writes about. And it does work. And when you start looking around at our populace and you see that over 50% of our populace is overweight, and we're not talking 10 pounds, we're talking morbidly obese.
Well, it's over two-thirds are overweight now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 75% in just a few years. That's the prediction.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that's due to the different things in food. We won't go into that. We'll save that for another time.
Yeah, save it for talking about Never Be Fat Again.
Yeah.
But there's two very, very fine books written for the average person, but taking advantage of the most cutting-edge science in molecular biology and cellular biochemistry. So this is top-notch science written for the lay person in very simple terms.
And you did a great job, and thank you for writing that book. That's just an amazing piece of work that I think is really going to help a lot of people, Raymond.
Well, I hope so. It's been translated into Chinese.
Wow.
It was nominated by the publishing industry for the equivalent of an Academy Award. So it's received a lot of recognition around the world, and it is literally saving lives. So get yourself a copy of Never Be Sick Again. And if you have friends or neighbors or relatives that can profit from it, get themselves a copy, too. And, in fact, if you go to beyondhealth.com, you can get an autographed copy, and that makes a really nice gift.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And, listeners, I hope you really enjoyed this. And, again, we've been talking with Raymond Francis, Never Be Sick Again.
Well,
and thank you so much for being on the show, Raymond.
It's been an honor, and thank you very much for the invitation. I'll send you a copy of the Fat Book, and God bless you for the good work you're doing for your listeners.
Oh, thank you. You know, the listeners appreciate it so much. I'm meeting a lot of them now because I'm on this cross-country tour and, you know, getting to spend time with them and doing this quantum physics stuff that I do. And it is just amazing.
Well, I'm very interested in that. As a scientist, I'm very interested in it, and I think we should meet up at some point and talk about it.
Absolutely. We're having a great time with this, and we're going to start putting some pictures on the website and such. I haven't had time yet. I've been driving. But I'm in Cleveland right now, and I can tell you that I am so grateful to my listeners because they are the best people in the world. You know, they're such lovely, lovely spirits, and it's incredible to meet them. You know, I got to meet one of the guys that I had talked to a few times on the show, Eric, and Eric, if you're listening, thank you again so much. And, you know, got to meet with several of the people in different groups. So what's been happening is I've been meeting with UFO groups and with metaphysicians and with natural health people, all these different types of people. And so we've got, you know, quite a wide gamut, and it's been a lot of fun. And I'm just really enjoying getting to meet everybody.
Well, I'm in the San Francisco area, so if you're ever up this way,
Well, you know, I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, we are going to be there. We're going to do this Vortex Gathering tour probably in January. We'll be coming up through California, Oregon, Washington, and Vancouver, and then coming back down, and then we'll do the East Coast again hopefully next year, like late spring, early summer.
Well, sounds great.
Yeah, so we've had such a great result with all this, and people are getting, you know, little jolts of enlightenment they wouldn't normally get, so it's pretty cool.
Well,
anyway, thank you.
You're giving people the most precious gift of all, the gift of health.
Yes.
Many thanks to you.
Absolutely. It's fun. And thank you so much, Raymond.
Okay.
And we will talk again. I'll have you on when I get a chance to read your other book, and we'll enlighten people some more.
Very good.
So in the meantime, thank you for being on. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, as always. And I love you guys. You are amazing people. And thank you for listening. And as always, until next time, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
In the slant of evening sun, burning through your bedroom window, look for me. In the pictures of nude men with their Latin legs akimbo, look for me. See my fingers circled by the diamond rings protruding from the sleeves of laughing mafioso at the bar, and my feet now teetering on the edge of platforms in the sneakers of homeboys waiting for subway cars, and reflected in the sweat rolling down the workman's neck. Today I can't even find my baby.
are you out there?